Now that this morning's handover of power in Baghdad is complete and Iraq's new interim prime minister has been sworn in, he'll turn his attention to his most pressing problem, security. Prime Minister Iyad Alawi warned at his swearing in today that, quote, forces of terror in his country would be crushed, and he promised to lead his people to a better future. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly joins me now. Any other specifics worth noting from Prime Minister Alawi's speech this morning?
Hi, Renee. Yes, I think several, actually. And we should note that we're talking about two separate speeches. We heard some sound bites a few minutes ago from Alawi, and that was speaking at the handover ceremony with Paul Bremer. Later this morning, there was the official swearing-in of the Iraqi government. And at that ceremony, that was broadcast live on Iraqi television so that Iraqis could see their new government being sworn in. Alawi seemed, although certainly aware that the rest of the world was watching this, seemed to be speaking, I thought, to his fellow Iraqis. And he urged people not to be afraid of what he called outlaws who are fighting against Islam and Muslims, a reference to the insurgents in Iraq. He appealed for an end to attacks on police and security forces, seemed to be trying to get the message out to the insurgents that, look, the army now is the Iraqi army, not Saddam's army, he said, and I'm quoting, these are our brothers, our sons. So I think the message there being, stop fighting, stop hurting your own people.
Well, if Alawi's appeal to insurgents doesn't work, the prime minister has hinted at harsher measures, right?
He has, yes. He has said that he has considered imposing martial law if security is not established. He's raised the possibility of a state of emergency that could include curfews, could include limits on public movement. So we'll see what happens if he does decide that he has to go ahead with that. It would be a touch ironic, I suppose, if U.S. efforts to increase freedoms for Iraqi people ended up, at least for the short term, with a state of martial law. But there you go, and we'll see what happens.
What resources does Mr. Alawi have to bring order to Iraq? I mean, are Iraq's security forces up to the job?
Well, at this point, I suppose the honest answer is no. They're going to need some help. We heard a few moments ago from our correspondent, Don Gagne, who is at the NATO summit, that NATO leaders there today have agreed to help in training Iraq's new security forces, although, as Don said, we don't have a lot of details yet on the specifics of that. I think, you know, they're gathered for a summit. The priority is to getting an agreement and projecting harmony, and that the details in terms of exactly what sort of NATO help will be forthcoming will get hammered out later.
And, of course, U.S. troops will remain for the foreseeable future.
Yes, 140,000 of them will remain in Iraq for the foreseeable future. There is no deadline, no timeline being given for when they may leave. We're told that they will report to U.S. military commanders and on up the military chain of command. There was some initial confusion about what might happen, say, if U.S. military leaders and Iraq's new government disagreed about what was the appropriate response to an incident. And we're told, as I say, that U.S. troops will report to U.S. officials. We should also point out that there's not only the military presence, but a very large U.S. economic presence. Reconstruction still being financed and carried out by Americans. So the American presence there is huge still and will be for some time to come.
And it's early still to assess, but if you look at the major goals the U.S. laid out at the start of the war, among them finding and destroying banned weapons, battling terrorism, and spreading democracy across the Middle East, how did the U.S. do?
Well, on finding and destroying weapons of mass destruction, so far the U.S. has not found any. So time will tell still, but that one doesn't yet seem to have panned out. On the war on terror front, I think it's fair to say that today, if anything, the terrorist network in Iraq is stronger than before the invasion. We continue to see foreign fighters coming in, crossing the borders, and the security situation is terrible. Hence, we mentioned that there's consideration of martial law. And then that last point you raise about bringing democracy to the Middle East, this was one of the stated goals, perhaps the most ambitious goal that the Bush administration laid out. Iraq was supposed to be the catalyst for change across the region, and I think work continues toward that goal. We know that elections are planned by the end of this year or January. So far, democracy, though not breaking out all over the Middle East, so we'll have to wait and see. This is not something that I think anyone thought would happen overnight.
Mary Louise, thanks much.
You're welcome.
NPR National Security Correspondent Mary Louise Kelly.